If you can place your marker there at Psalms 119, we'll be there in just a few moments after looking at a few other scriptures. If someone were to ask you, what is the most important physical possession that you have? You know, something that you can touch, feel, see. Well, what would it be? Maybe some would answer, some gift they had received. Maybe a ring. Maybe a family heirloom that had been passed down. Maybe something else. But how often do we think about when asked a question like that? The most important physical possession I have is my Bible. This morning I want us to think about the importance of our Bible. Why is the Bible so important? If you've got your song books handy, turn with me over to a song that I think we sing here. We used to sing a lot in Thomasville. We just love this song, The Congregation. And it's 459 in your song book if you want to turn over there. 459. And the title of the song is The Precious Book Divine. And it reminds us that the Bible is so important and it is so precious because it contains the Holy Word of God. How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its precepts shine to guide my soul to heaven. Verse 2. It sweetly cheers my drooping heart in this dark vale of tears. Light to my life, it still imparts and quells my rising fears. Verse 3. This lamp through all the tedious night of life shall guide my way till I behold the clearer light of an eternal day. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way to guide me safely home. If you'll turn your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 10, I want to suggest to us that the Bible is so very important because it is the way that God communicates with us. The way that God communicates with us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For to us," that's the apostles, "God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." In verse 13, "Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." In other words, Paul is explaining that the Word of God was given to him and the apostles, and these things were delivered to men. Today we have these things written down. We have the Bible. These are the thoughts of God. These are the words of God. And Peter explains that men, as they wrote these things, that they did not put down their personal opinions or interpretations, but God gave them to them, and they have given them to us, and we have them today. Without the Bible, we would not know the mind of God. Without the Bible, we would not know the Word of God. You know, when I went to Russia, there was one thing that impressed me more than anything. The people there wanted a Bible. And you know, they would oftentimes come up, and they would want us to sign their Bible. Because we were the ones who gave them their Bible. And they knew and they understand that they had to have a Bible to know what God said. You know, they were living in a day and an age and a time when the Word of God was kept away from them, when they had to rely upon what someone else said, what some man in some religion said, and they were not given their own Bibles where they could read in their own language to see what God said for themselves. And they wanted a Bible. And that impressed me so much. To go to a place where people were hungering and thirsting just to have their very own copy of the Bible. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 17 and verse 17. that within the Word of God, our Bibles are so important because absolute truth is revealed within it. Here Jesus is praying just hours before being delivered to the Jews and going through those trials late at night, early into the morning, being convicted, sentenced to death at 6 a.m., being crucified at 9 a.m. This is hours just before. And Jesus is praying in verse 17, ask God to sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Our Bibles are so important because within the word of God is absolute truth. You know, Paul admonishes Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, to accurately handle the word of truth. Our Bibles are so important because truth is revealed within it. Truth is not revealed within the philosophies of men. Truth is not revealed within a textbook somewhere. Absolute truth is revealed only within the Word of God, and those things which coincide with the truth that are revealed herein, only those things can be truth. I know our children today struggle so much in school because lies are perpetrated through the textbooks. And I know Dawn not long ago became so upset because of the lies perpetrated within the school. That about evolution does not coincide with absolute truth, with the truth of the Scriptures, and it must be rejected. Without the Word of God, we would not know truth. We would not know what is right and what is wrong without the Word of God. Without our Bibles, we would not know that. Therefore, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, we must obey. We must obey what is contained within the Word of God, which we have imparted to us here, our Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter says, since you have in obedience to the truth, God's Word, it is truth. Since we have in obedience to the truth purified our souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. And this Word is given to us within our Bibles. How important is the Bible to you? How important is the Bible to you? It's God's Word. We must obey it to be saved. We cannot be saved without the Bible, the Word of God. Now let me ask you this, a very difficult question. And perhaps all of us can think of ourselves, look back upon our behavior, and see where our behavior may not be what it should be. Does your treatment of the Bible, God's Word, reflect its importance? Does your treatment of the Bible reflect its importance? Think about a terminally ill person on oxygen. They make sure that their tanks are filled. They always know where their tanks are. They treat their oxygen machine with great care, making sure that it is maintained perfectly. They don't carelessly throw their tanks around, their oxygen tanks around, damaging them. How should we treat the Bible? Since our souls depend, not our physical bodies necessarily so much, but our souls, even more than our physical bodies, depend on this book, should we carelessly throw it around, purposely damaging it, or take care of it and treasure it as our most important, most valuable physical possession? Should we forget where it's at, not know where it is, because we don't use it all the time? Or should we know? We know exactly where our Bible is. Now, don't get me wrong, we misplace it from time to time. I forget if I put it here or put it there. Sometimes I have to go and search out where it is. I can usually find it just within a minute. Should we know where it is? Because we're using it constantly, day to day, we know where our Bibles are. Should it sit around collecting dust without being used, or be clean just by virtue of its use, just because we are handling it constantly, it's clean because it's being used constantly. The Bible is important because God lights our path. If your Bibles are still open to Psalms 119, look once again with me. First of all, at verse 105, Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." And do we think of the Bible that way? It is a lamp. You know, think about going camping, and you're out in the woods, and it's dark, and it's one of those cloudy nights, and you really can't see the moon, and you can't see the stars, and it is pitch black. Think about how dark it is, and we need a lamp. And I don't think any of us, maybe you're one of these rugged backwoodsmen or something like that, and you wouldn't take a lamp or a flashlight or something like that, but not me. You know, I'm going to take a lamp. I'm going to make sure I have something to build a fire because I want some light in all of that darkness. God's Word is the lamp to our path. Just as you take a flashlight and you're walking in the middle of the woods, our flashlight walking throughout this sinful world is the Word of God. The truth where we can shine it upon things and know, is this right or wrong? Is this the truth? Is this a lie? Verse 130, Psalms 19:130. "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." You know, I'll remind you of a story. When I graduated from college, I would go and I would teach music at band camps. And we'd go out into the woods and it'd be in cabins, and the kids are staying in cabins. And one time I got all the kids together and we had a bonfire and I told them some scary stories. And then we went out in the woods, and for some reason I thought I could take 150 some kids out into the woods, I've never been through, I've never walked through, and it was night and I could find the way back home, and I got lost. We needed a lamp. We needed guidance. And so now Andrew, you like that, huh? It's pretty funny to think about it. I'm trying to scare the kids all I can, you know. And so then I have them start shouting for help. You know, I have all 150 kids shouting for help. And you can imagine what that would be like echoing through the woods, because they didn't know it. I didn't confess it, but I was lost leading these kids through the woods. So finally, as we were walking, I was scrambling, trying to find the way back. We stumbled upon some counselors. And they're playing into it perfectly because they didn't know I was lost. And so all of a sudden I get right in the face of this counselor, and all of a sudden, man, I'm scared. You know, here's somebody. And they're like, shh, be quiet. And so we go a little further, and they jump out and they scare all the kids. And it makes me look like a hero. But I was lost. I needed a lamp. I needed a light. And these counselors that came into the woods and they rescued us, and I left the camp, didn't tell a soul. I was lost, but I needed that lamp. Now, our lamp today is the Word of God. We need to be rescued. We need to know the direction to go. We need to know the path. Which path to take? Which direction to take on that path? And the Bible gives us that information. Turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Without the Bible, without the Word of God, we cannot find our way. We will be lost. We are doomed to eternal damnation without the Bible. Let me emphasize this. If the Bible was not present upon the earth, and if I did not have the Bible, the Word of God, I would be doomed to eternal damnation. I would not know what I needed to do to be right with God. Proverbs 16, verse 25, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Now this tells us there are ways without the Bible, there are things we are going to think that are right. We're going to think this is right, this is the right way, this is the right thing to do. We are in our own minds going to come up with, through this human logic, things that we believe are right, but we're wrong, and the result of that is eternal damnation. Man, without the Word of God, is lost. Is lost. It is not within us to direct our own paths. We need something to guide us. That something is the Word of God. The Bible is important. It's how God communicates to us. It is our light, to light the path, to show us the right way to go, the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. But also, the Bible is important because it tells us what to do to be saved. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. That there are a lot of people. Philip talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. There are a lot of people out there telling us a lot of different ways to be saved. You know, some people tell us just to pray a prayer of faith. Some people tell us, well, you should be christened when you're a baby. Your parents should christen you when you're a baby. And then when you get a certain age, you should be confirmed. But as soon as you're christened as a little baby, well, then you're saved. That's funny to me. The same religion, if they think there's going to be trouble in the delivering of the baby, they'll christen the baby in the womb. Because their whole doctrine is, if a baby is born and a baby is born dead, never even breathes one time in this life, that soul is going to hell. And so they come up with this doctrine. You christen the baby while in the womb. Other people say, well, all you got to do is believe. Other people say, well, whatever you think, well, that's the deal. You just do that. If you believe it, you do that, you're going to be okay. But you know, there's only one source of truth, of light. That there's only one place we can find out what to do to be saved, and that's the Bible. In Acts chapter 26, I want you to notice here as the Lord speaks to Paul in commissioning him to preach. And I want us to notice what Jesus tells him the purpose of this preaching is that he's going to be doing. And let's begin in verse 16, 26, 16. But get up, this is the Lord telling Paul, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Now notice this. This is the purpose. This is what his preaching does. And this is what the Bible does for us today. To open their eyes. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. This is what the Bible does for us. It is the light to our path. It tells us what to do to be saved. It opens our eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15. In the reading of Moses, the Old Testament, there was a veil before their eyes. They could not see. It's as if their eyes were closed, but in Christ Jesus, our eyes are opened. Look at this. Without the Bible, without the Word of God, our eyes would be closed. We would not have understanding. We could not see. We would be walking throughout this world in blindness. Remember Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus, and we do not have access to them until we are a Christian. Jesus tells Paul in verse 18 that through his preaching, he would turn people from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God. Remember in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, when we obey Jesus Christ, we are rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 18, Jesus tells Paul, so that they may have forgiveness of sins and inheritance. Listen here, without the Bible, we do not know how to have our sins forgiven. We don't know what God wants us to do. We don't know how to have this inheritance in heaven for eternity without God, without the Bible. Now let me ask you, what is the most important, treasured, physical possession upon the earth? It has to be the Bible. It has to be the Bible. If I were to lose everything and could save one possession, it has to be my Bible. That has to be what it is. The Bible message You know what it is, repent, to confess Jesus Christ, to be baptized, to faithfully serve Him, believing. But you know, before I can do all of that, what do we have to do first? We have to hear. You remember the scripture, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But I want us to go over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, and I want us to notice the process within the Colossians. The process of becoming saints. Paul is there writing to them, the saints. Colossians chapter 1 and verse, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has also come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, which is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf." Now, I want you to notice what happened. First of all, Epaphras had to go there and teach them. Second of all, verse 5, they had to hear. They heard the gospel, the truth from Epaphras. Verse 6, they had to understand it in truth. Understand it in truth. And this is the process. First of all, we have to be taught. We have to hear the message. We have to go to the Word of God. We must learn, study, understand, come to a knowledge that Paul addresses just right after this in Colossians. All of this being taught the Word of God in truth. Without the Bible, we cannot be saved. Without hearing and understanding the gospel message revealed in the Bible, we cannot be saved. One final point for you this morning. Why is the Bible important? It makes us the world's Bible. You see, the world's not going to pick up this book. They're not going to pick it up. They're not going to read it. They're not going to understand it in truth. The moment that they do, they're going to be converted to Jesus Christ. Their eyes are going to be opened. They're going to have the wisdom and the knowledge which are hidden within Christ Jesus. Jesus tells us most people in the world aren't going to do that. We are their Bible. I want you to turn in your song books with me once again to a song I suppose all of you are familiar with. Number 460. Number 460. And it relays this thought that we're talking about. And the title of the song is "The World's Bible." Look at the verses with me. "Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His life would spurn? How can we hope to help Him and welcome His return?" In other words, we are the world's Bible. Well, they look at us, they look at our life, they look at the message of our life. Because we are lights to the world. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 15. The Bible is so important. It's how God communicates with us. It's our lights to our path. It tells us what to do to be saved. And it tells us how to reach dying souls in the world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, here, just jumping in the middle of the things, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now notice, among whom you appear as lights in the world. In other words, figuratively speaking, you are the world's Bible. Look at verse 16. Holding fast the word of life. You are the world's Bible. Holding fast the word of life. Jesus says, Matthew 5:14-16, we are the light of the world, and it's like a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the light of the world. They're not going to turn to God's word and read it for themselves to understand it in truth, generally speaking. We are their Bible. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. How are we these lights? How are we these lights to the world? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, therefore do not be partakers of them, those who are in the world in darkness. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now verse 9, your translation may be just a little bit different. New American Standard says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. We are lights to the world by doing the right things. Not participating in darkness, not living in darkness, being different. Lord willing, my sermon next Sunday morning, I was working on it for today, and I think I'll do it tomorrow. I took two sayings, and I put them together into one sermon. The first saying is, the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. So we talk about the most important thing. But really, even more than that, I want to get to the latter part of the lesson. It's this: if you aren't taking flack, you're not over the target. And I think it very much addresses what we're talking about right here. When we are the Lord's, when we are the world's Bible, when we are not living in darkness, when we are showing people how to live, yes, we're going to take flack for that. Most people in the world are going to be giving us flack for that. But there are a few people that we will reach. First of all, with the way that we live, and they see the difference, and they see what it means to live in the light and the life that you have. And then second of all, we or someone else will have the chance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, where they can learn it and understand it in truth. We are the light of the world. We are the world's Bible. By not walking in darkness, by being different, by taking the flack that's associated with that, and leading people to Christ by the example of our lives as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The result of that, Jesus tells us, some people are going to hate us just as they hated Him. They hate us because light exposes darkness and exposes their evil deeds, and they're not going to like that. But there are a few people who are going to come to the light, because they want to obey the Lord. They want to do what is right. They want to be saved. And so it's for them that we gladly are the world's Bible. What is the most precious physical possession you have? If everything in the world was taken away, I mean everything was taken away, but there was only one thing that would remain, what would you choose for it to be? What would you choose for it to be? I think all of us here today would choose the Bible. Take everything but the Bible. Is it important to you? Why is the Bible important? It's how God communicates with it. God lights our path. We know how to be saved. And we become the world's Bible. If you believe the Bible this morning and you're not a Christian, today's the day to obey it. If you get your song books out, we're going to turn to number 322. Bring Christ your broken life. You can become a Christian this morning by obeying the truth of the gospel, as we've talked about this morning. What must you do? We've already mentioned it. First of all, you go to the Word of God, you find out what the Lord would have you to do. What does He tell us? That we must believe. Believe that is He, the one He claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah, Christ. Then what are we to do? To repent of our sins, simply to turn from doing the wrong to do the right. To confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of our sins. As we talked about a little bit in our high school class this morning, then we'll be added to the church. We'll be a child of God. We'll be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the Word of God. If we can help you at all this morning, why don't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.